Advice from the pros. Advice from the pros. Stories from the haunted. From the haunted. You're listening to the Ghost Hunter Advice Podcast.
Welcome back to Ghost Hunter Advice. I'm your host, Tanner, and I am joined here by Matt Barron from the Paranormal Consultant. How you doing, Matt?
I'm surviving, Tanner. I'm surviving. How are you?
I'm doing good. Matt, thanks for coming on the show. I've had a ton of questions come in about how to build platforms, how to get more involved in YouTube. Some people are looking at monetization. Mm-hmm. And I came across you on Facebook. I actually caught one of your live streams, started watching those pretty regularly. You have some entertaining people on there. Great content.
I'm sorry. No.
But I know you're doing a lot of stuff that a lot of my listeners, they have, they're wanting to get into themselves as far as creating content, putting things out there to make a name for themselves. Let's just start from the beginning. What got you into the paranormal field in general?
Well, just like everybody else, I had an experience when I was younger. It kind of played it off just because I'm from Pennsylvania. Don't really talk about the paranormal a lot out this way. It's kind of taboo. It wasn't until I was in the military that a couple group buddies and I, they wanted me to go out to the cemetery, went out, had some experiences, caught some EVPs. And after that, I was hooked, started watching the shows and started doing a bunch of things. And then it just kind of snowballed from there.
Awesome. So did you get into investigating with teams at first? Did you go out on your own?
I started out looking for teams. They weren't doing anything formal, like helping clients out. So that's something I wanted to do. I wanted to travel. I wanted to help people. So I reached out to a team that was looking for investigators. And the short version, we didn't see eye to eye. They were after the money. I was not. So I tried to start networking, tried to do some research, learning. And that's when I started my first team, San Diego Paranormal Eye. And that was about, I'd say, 15 years ago. Wow.
So what, you have this awesome brand, Paranormal Consultant. It's
thank you.
It's something that you don't see a lot with like authentic brands that aren't ghost bros or some sort of twist on Ghostbusters. And it's nice to have something that looks professional out there as far as branding and a name. So what brought about the Paranormal Consultant, and what got you, away from the teams and more into content creation and consulting?
Well, it started with me first getting away from the team setting. After I was running my third team for over a year and a half, some of the team members were just, as we all know, there's a lot of drama, ego, stuff like that in this field. I just got tired of it. I wanted to network. I wanted to work with others. And I shut down my team out here in Pennsylvania. And my wife and I, we started talking. I said, listen, I really want to still be a part of the field. I really want to reach out. And she said, well, if only there's a way you can consult with people, you can work with people, just kind of stay in the back burner. And I was like, you know what? That's not a bad idea. So I started doing some how-to videos, some easy stuff, and Paranormal Consultant just was right in the front of my brain. It was like, I like this. I like the name. It's black and white. It's exactly what it is. I'm consulting, I'm helping. And I didn't want to put ghost in front of it. I liked paranormal because I study all fields of the paranormal. It's not just, ghost hunting. It's, cryptids, demonology, a bunch of different things. And she's Wiccan herself. So I just wanted to incorporate everything. So started doing that. And I started doing some of these, like I said, how-to videos. And I met this one individual who's now basically family. His name's Scott from Warren Area Society of Paranormal. We call him Mr. Fedora. He started saying, why don't you start networking? Make this into a show. Start doing things like the videos you see now. And it's just kind of evolved. And through him and a bunch of others, this community has just grown and blown up.
You have a pretty impressive platform there. Like I've jumped on and caught a couple of your streams, like I was saying, and there's awesome interaction between you and listeners. Mm-hmm. And you and other teams, people jumping in and giving advice or commenting on things. What, so when you started, did you start doing pre-recorded YouTube, or did you just dive right into live streaming?
everything, every video I've done, minus a couple, have been live. I feel live videos, live interactions are very important to this community, because there's a lot of people that maybe need help right away. And also it shows that you're approachable for me to be able to interact with my audience along with, you know, everybody else and my guests. It's very important. It shows that word that a lot of people love to throw around is pair unity. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's more of an idea. I'd rather show people, I'd rather be there for them, get them the answers, hang out, have fun, and just show that it can work. We can work together. So yeah, I would only say that maybe two or three of my videos have ever been recorded. One Scott did, Mr. Fedora. He hacked in to my YouTube channel.
Man, I think you're pretty much the polar opposite. I think I've done two live things, and the majority of my stuff's pre-recorded for audio content on podcasts.
See, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, because if something happens, you can go back. But me personally, I love the fact that it's like you said, you've seen the show, and thank you, by the way, for your support. It shows that we're human. You know, I would rather see those flaws. I would rather see the realism. I'd love to see the interaction and just being thrown off your game during an interview. That's what makes it fun. And that's what I think draws a lot of people in to this community that we're building.
Oh, yeah. And if anybody was there, those of you that were there for the Drinksgiving live special, that was.
Oh, that's the one you caught. Oops.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I was talking about mine. I didn't realize you did one. Oh. Man, those are fun. Those are always fun. Whiskey and ghosts. It's going to be.
We had a pretty good 4th of July one that I'm not going to lie. I was chasing some spirits and they weren't dead. I'll tell you that.
So I noticed you're part of like a couple of different, I don't want to say organizations, but you've built a lot of time or spent a lot of time building up your network.
Yes.
Now you mentioned Pair Unity, and that's something I've heard mentioned on your show and on several other podcasts. Mm-hmm. For those listeners out there that don't know what that is, what is Pair Unity?
Well, everybody has their own definition. Me personally, Pair Unity isn't a solid object. It's not something you can hold or a title. It is a belief system. And what to me it is groups, teams, individuals, people who are just enthusiasts in our field working together to help each other out in any way, shape, or form. Whether it's there for emotional support, whether it's there for investigation help, team building, anything, just even pushing ideas back and forth. And trust me, we've had some long nights and early mornings, but that's Pair Unity. It's basically a group, a network, a community, and realistically a family.
Awesome. And that's something that we've been trying to push here on the show. A lot of teams will hold their evidence like close to the chest. They'll post it on their website, maybe.
Yeah.
And they don't necessarily share or review each other's evidence. They don't send it out for peer review or secondary sources. And that's mm-hmm. something that we have to start doing in this field if we actually want to start moving forward. The teams 100%. That have gotten some traction, the new devices and things that have come out because people are collaborating.
Yes.
And I notice you have a couple of sponsors or programs that you're you're working with up on your background behind. Parapost.net. How is that going?
Well, Parapost. Well, first of all, this background is my old one. It's grown that much that my new one, if you see any of my new shows, it's just all over the place. I've got like 15 different things. Parapost is actually the brainchild of an individual named Brian John Laverty. And he has done a phenomenal job. From day one I've met him, he was nothing but supportive and understanding and helpful. And him, just like a bunch of others of us, we're all tired of naysayers about Facebook, YouTube, and many, many other places just putting the paranormal community down. So he wanted to build this platform to where paranormal teams, groups, individuals, everybody can be a part of and freely be able to discuss paranormal, bounce ideas back and forth, you know, help out with evidence review, find new locations, and a bunch of other things. And this platform I've seen in the past couple months has grown dramatically. And, you know, I say this on my show, I promote it out every show. And the reason for it is because I believe in it. He hasn't paid me a penny, and I will promote him constantly because I believe in what he's doing. And along with the rest of us, like there's, I would say at least 50 to 60 plus teams that are actively promoting him out.
And that's something, guys out there, connecting with other ghost hunters, connecting with other people, not just ghost hunters or paranormal research teams, but we've gone over networking with psychiatrists, networking with counselors and people outside of the paranormal community. Mm-hmm. It's super important that you're not out there by yourself and that you have a group of people that can help the individuals you're trying to help or who can help you grow, you know, professionally and spiritually. And something like parapost.net or some of the other places, I don't even know if Ghost Village is still going. You remember that one?
I do remember that one. I haven't heard much from them, but you're absolutely right.
But so getting into like the nitty gritty of paranormal consultants, what was that like making the switch and going from doing mostly field research and taking a turn and going into consulting for other teams? And
it's definitely different. I was just telling one of the teams I work with that I go stir crazy because I see the evidence, I see the videos, I see all the stuff, and I'm just like, I really want to be there. But that being said, there obviously are a lot of more opportunities now for me to go to different places. This past, what was it, April, I want to say? March or April, we went to the USS North Carolina and we investigated the battleship there. And I absolutely loved it. I'm a military man myself, I'm Navy. So being on the battleship was great. And that was set up by this other team, Jonathan Myers from Crossover Paranormal Society. He set all this up and we're going back next year. And we're doing a bunch of different things. And the investigating will come. Don't get me wrong, it will come. But definitely it's helped me out as an individual because now I can take that step back and kind of help people out and I can watch everybody else grow, which is really important to me. And at the same time, it'll give me opportunities that if I decide I want to go out and investigate, let's go have some fun.
Yeah. And that's just kind of the natural progression of any sort of career, any sort of, I don't want to say hobby, but proficiency.
Yeah.
You know, eventually you stop being in the field yourself and helping one individual at a time. And you start making, in leadership, we call it making more of ourselves.
Yep.
So we have this opportunity to help and develop other individuals to go out there. And instead of helping, you know, five people this year, you help 50 and next year it's 500 and then it's 5,000. Mm-hmm. So those of you that really want to make an impact, this is how you do it. it's not about posting videos about ghosts and chairs flying across the room. It's about connecting with people and really, really helping people to make a difference.
100%. And just like in anything, there are sacrifices that you have to make, but at the end of the day, you got to look back and say, you know, is it really going to take care of family first? That's something we all of us agree upon, is family has to come first and you take care of your family and whatnot. But after that, if you have the opportunity to, you know, do a little something, like I was telling you, Tanner, you know, I got some videos I'm helping the guys with, I'll get it done. It'll get there, you know, but family's taken care of, don't have work, you know, that's the way to do it. You got to make sure you're taking care of your own.
Yeah. And that's where like a lot of people get lost. It becomes an obsession. And then, you know, there's divorces and there's mm-hmm. people that are taking a week away from their job to go up and chase Bigfoot through Alaska or something and coming back sounds and like having fun. To shop around.
That actually sounds like fun.
I had a friend of mine. He was a private investigator for about 15 years and he was a PI and that's what he did. He's like, you know, I'm taking 2 weeks. I'm going to head up to Alaska and hunt Bigfoot. I'm like,
got an extra ticket?
Yeah, right. And that's where being stable comes in, not just putting family and career first, but really making sure that you've got your priorities in line so that you can grow financially, because this is expensive as hell to do. Mm-hmm. You got the travel, the equipment, and you have to be able to support that yourself and your family. So getting to that, like launching this, launching your channel, creating the Paranormal Consultants, building that brand, if you don't mind me asking, out of pocket, what was that like?
Well, I've had a lot and I've also had very little. So when I started out, it was cell phone. And I do not suggest anybody going. I mean, go to my YouTube. I love it, you know, by all means, but stay away from my older videos, please. And if you do see them, I apologize. But it was starting out with my cell phone in the cemetery or driving around doing these mobile videos. And then when I had the opportunity, I got a laptop. Then once I got my laptop, then I started building it slowly. I mean, my studio setup I have right now, I've got like a gaming computer, a SkyTech gaming computer. I've got a bunch of different things. I got six screens going and it's taken time. It'll happen. But I always tell people just start off what you're comfortable with.
Yeah. I mean, when I started doing not this podcast, but the podcast that I did before this, I recorded it on my cell phone in my car. I did the audio editing through Anchor, the app sitting in my car. And I put those out and that was the Covert Investigator, my PI podcast. And that one landed me writing opportunities with different industry magazines. I got so many clients as a PI off that podcast sitting in my car. Mm-hmm. And then that built the studio, got the microphones, got the laptops and screens and things so that I can sit down and actually put out something that is a bit more polished and professional. Just start. Doesn't have to be good. Just start and put it out there.
Yeah. And that's the way, like I was, like I said, a lot of my beginning videos were, and they still joke with me about it, but we're in my car, we're in my truck. You know, I just put it right in the phone holder and drove around, chatted with everybody live, talk about different things, you know, whatever. I distinctly remember, you know, taking my phone and my laptop when I first got it and being outside because I didn't have a studio, or I would do it in the bedroom. I'd have it literally. I still joke about this. I had my sock drawer opened up, had the laptop sitting on the socks, tried to balance it as best as I could, had a really cheap microphone, sounded like absolute crap. And I slowly progressed to now I have not where I like it, but I'm working on it again. I'm still in that phase, and you just got to be happy and just put it out there. Speak your mind.
Now, when it comes to connecting to your audience, how did you build that? Did you just keep putting content out and you pick up people here and people would refer it? Or did you start doing any sort of like advertising or looking at SEO?
I did a little bit of advertising. Like I do the Facebook boost. Most of my stuff started out just on Facebook. It started off on my personal page, and then I started Paranormal Consultant. And that's when I started putting my videos on. And it was just post it, share it, post it, share it, post it, share. And then, like I said, I met up with Scott. Scott introduced me to other teams, other groups. They started posting it out. One thing led to another. And then next thing you know, we've got like 50 plus teams that we're working with.
And that comes back to just do it. It doesn't matter if you're using your cell phone and you're recording it, just get it, put it up, make friends and get people to share it. So for those of you out there that are looking to get more opportunities through YouTube, whether you want to do this for the research and you're doing this to help people, or you're doing this for entertainment, you want to scare people. There's nothing wrong with either of those. It just depends on what you want to do. I think all of us lean one way or the other, but just get started and talk to people, get outside of your comfort zone, because you're not going to grow while you're comfortable.
Yeah. And I think one thing that really helped growing too, especially I see it now with these newer teams, is Parapost. I said it before and I'll say it again, Parapost, what Brian John Laverty is doing is absolutely amazing. And it's a great network to start with.
Now with what you're doing with your consulting, I've seen the videos. Do you consult with individuals who are having hauntings and experiencing things, or do you consult directly to teams where you're doing evidence review and you're showing them how to set up or like teaching them protocols and practices?
Both. I've gotten some clients that have messaged either myself or my wife, and we've talked with them about some things, find out what's going on, offer advice to them. And typically it's go to a team, find yourself a team. Or I've helped out teams and I'm a part of a couple of group chats for different teams, and I've helped them rebuild. We've helped them with evidence review. We've helped them. Sorry about that. We've helped them with a bunch of different things. So we do both.
Awesome. Which one do you enjoy doing more? Is it kind of a split of the two?
It's kind of a split. I mean, these teams and groups that we work with are just absolutely amazing. I love them all to death. They're all like family. But let's be honest, we all love investigating. So I do like the client side of it as well.
Yeah, I was really surprised when we're pretty similar in what we do with helping other teams and then individuals. I found that I loved helping individuals a little bit more than teams, because generally it's okay. So I'm judicially, I'm recognized as an expert in the investigative process.
Mm-hmm.
So I look at process procedures, how they're handling evidence, how they're doing things, how they're logging people around the house and how they're tracking stuff. And I go in and get really ingrained in that. I spent 15 years doing that forensically. I love talking to clients who are doing this for the first time. They're like, we don't have a team. I don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. And I get to do that with someone who's never done it before and doesn't even really believe in this stuff, but saw their pot levitate through the kitchen and now is freaked out.
Yeah. No, it's just that's the thing. Like one of the big questions I always get is, you know, skeptics, good or bad on teams. I was like, I love them. I love skeptics and beginners, because skeptics are good because they give you that nice grounding that you want. The problem with skeptics is once they have a couple of experiences, they're no longer skeptical. So I love skeptics. I love
them. Like a toddler. Like I have a 2-year-old son, and I get to see him like experience things in life for the very first time. Mm-hmm. And consulting someone that doesn't believe in the paranormal but wants to figure out what's going on in their house, they're seeing everything mm-hmm. for the first time, and it's just like watching my son figure out, oh, this is how I tie my shoe.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
All right, man. Well, hey, thanks so much for coming on the show. How can people contact you, and where can they get your show?
You can either contact me on Paranormal Consultant on Facebook or YouTube. That's the YouTube channel, Paranormal Consultant. The show is on Paranormal Consultant YouTube, or you can find us on the Paracrew podcast, both on Facebook. And we're starting to branch out more, but you can see us and many others. There's a Parapost Network Central on Facebook. You'll see my show and plenty others who have a lot of great experiences, great stories, and great shows.
All right, guys. So I will catch you on the next episode of Ghost Hunter Advice. If you'd like to connect with the show, you can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Ghost Hunter Advice. You can also email the show any questions you have, or if you'd like to come on the show, ghosthunteradvice@gmail.com.